I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
The Wolf of Wall Street was on the other day when I was flipping through channel. Great family film.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
Holding everybody accountable.
If you feel better about that, I'm happy to do so.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Norton.
You heard the big voice guy. Joining us now is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. Got the whole crew together except Alex Strofe. Jason, how are you?
Good. I'm just hoping that my reception holds out on Highway 29 on my way home from the Twin Cities.
We will hold on to dear life and let you know if anything happens. You know, you're very much needed right now for Kyle. He's broken. The emotions have now come out. It's been suppressed to this point of now they've lost 5 games. The teams that are ranked or with higher records than them. So I want to know when you get to Kyle, please help him. But for me, Jason, I just want to know. Matt LaFleur is catching a lot of heat right now, which I know old T said he was outcoached by Kevin O'Connell and whatnot. I just, for Goody, you look at some of these teams that are ascending right now, you see the first round draft picks that are making the impact. I know you can't change it, but is that the only blemish on Goody right now, is not being able to bring guys in the first round to make an immediate impact? The one guy that is doing it, Matt LaFleur is talking about, he doesn't know if he's going to play this season.
Yeah, I mean, look, he did pick Jordan Love in the first round, whether the timing was right or not. I mean, Jordan Love's still pretty good. Let's not lose sight of that. Obviously, they're not getting help from Jordan Morgan right away. But Sean Ryan, whom Goody drafted in the third round a few years ago and who had struggled and barely played his rookie year, is playing pretty well. Like, you know.
It's just the first round guys everyone points to. And as everyone likes to say, like, those are the guys with the most potential, likely, of making a big impact for your team.
Yeah, Ron Wolf wasn't great in the first round either, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it doesn't matter where you draft them. You just got to make sure you have enough good players. And right now, in terms of their pass rush, which is where that I would point at their first round picks being questionable, that's where their problems are, right? I think you could say that Eric Stokes, obviously, you don't want to keep him on the field if you don't have to. But Jair Alexander's situation, which I know Rob Domofsky asked about, is part of it too. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the two guys that they drafted to rush the passer aren't getting the job done. Rashawn Gary is not good enough. He's inconsistent at best. They paid him like an elite pass rusher, and he's not rushing like an elite pass rusher. And, you know, there have been glimpses this season where you thought, okay, he's finally finding his rhythm, and this is going to be kind of the launching point for him to be a dominant force the rest of the season, and that hasn't happened. Lucas Van Ness, you know, they did the pick swap with the Jets as part of the Rodgers deal, and the Jets picked 15th, and they took Will McDonald from Iowa State, who I think is from the state of Wisconsin originally.
Sure is.
This isn't a T.J. Watt deal, but it's certainly, that guy's been better than LVN has been. And if we're being really honest, yesterday they needed him because Brenton Cox left at one point after taking a low block. I don't think he came back. They played Aaron Mosby more. And those are the guys that, you know, when you select them because you expect them to be impact players, especially when you're the 12th or the 13th overall pick. You know, when you get down to Quay Walker at 22, Devontae Wyatt at 29, Eric Stokes was, I think, in the 20s. You know, you would love for them to be top flight players, but as long as they're consistent contributors, you feel okay. And you're right. His first round track record is not very good, but they got a lot of problems right now. Chief among them, the pass rush on defense, and the fact that offensively they were not able to find someone that could get them consistent production in the pass game. Jordan Love was 10 of 18 for 64 yards through three quarters. And when the Vikings started to play soft coverage with a 27-10 lead, they got things going a little bit, but in the end it wasn't enough, and they don't have that Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, because they got two guys that are like that, and then obviously their third receiver had a big day yesterday, but they don't have that clear-cut number one or 1A who is capable of taking the offense on his shoulders. And we spent so much time talking about how it's better to have this ensemble cast. But yesterday, without Christian Watson, I didn't see a very good ensemble cast.
Jason, you did a really good job answering a lot of questions that we've been discussing right now. I just want to know real quick, like, is this a theme that the Packers should be trying to follow? Because obviously, like, the Patriots are the Patriots. The Packers are the Patriots. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Packers are the Chiefs. Everyone's like, well, they traded Tyreek Hill and kept winning. Packers haven't proved to be able to do that. You look at the three teams that they've lost to, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Addison Jefferson, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, those are guys who the Packers need to go get a guy in the first round and draft a true skill position guy that is not a quarterback?
No, I don't. Again, I don't think that's, you know, look, first of all, they still got playoff. I mean, we're talking about these guys like they're 7-9. Like,
I'm talking about the production of the wide receivers right here.
Right, but it's not like there's been other times this season when we were talking about this receiver or that receiver being productive. Like, this is the reality of this team, in my opinion. They are who I thought they were, just to quote Denny Green. I thought that they were good, but not Super Bowl good. I thought they were a year away from contending for a title. I'm not saying that they can't reel off three straight wins, but what I said before the season was they could be a better team and not even make it as far in the playoffs. They're going to be the seventh seed unless Mike McCarthy bails them out. And that means they got to go to Philly in the first round. And I don't like their chances against Philly. I think Philly's really starting to figure a lot of things out. They obviously saw him to start the season. But there's a distinct possibility that they will end up three wins better in the regular season and end up the same seed and then lose in the first round, unlike last year when they beat the Cowboys and had the 49ers on the ropes. But that's the reality of the NFL. They're not an elite-level team. And quite frankly, those of us that cover the team have probably pumped them up a little bit more than we should have. And I love Xavier McKinney, man. Yesterday, you know, Tim Van Voren from Fox 6 said, you know, do you believe you're in the same class as Detroit, Philadelphia, and Minnesota? And Xavier McKinney said what every one of us should be saying, which is, I want to say yeah, but I can't. We haven't beaten any of them. So I can't say that we are. There's no evidence to say that we are. And so, look, is this – I don't know if this is the time to say, oh, they're not building their wide receiver group right. Well, I don't know. Christian Watson's played some damn good football the last couple of weeks. He gets this freak knee bruise, isn't able to go yesterday. Is it a different game if he plays? Potentially, because I think the Vikings play their defense differently. We see Romeo Doubs in flashes. I don't know what's gone on with Jaden Reed, because there was a time where we were talking about him being potentially a 100-catch guy. And now, you know, you got LaFleur today talking about how you got to win your one-on-one matchups. Now, he sounded like Mike McCarthy. And apparently they didn't win enough one-on-one matchups with their receivers yesterday. So there's a lot to be disappointed about, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. They are still a good football team, not a great football team. And if they somehow get all these guys back, if Jair plays again, which, again, who the hell knows, if Quay Walker is back and you're combining him with Edgerrin Cooper, because I thought Quay Walker was playing pretty well when he got hurt, you get Evan Williams back, who solidifies the jockeying in the secondary. I mean, and you get Christian Watson back, that's a pretty good group. And I would say that they can beat some of the teams in the playoffs. Can they go and beat, in succession, Philly, the number two seed, whichever NFC North team is the number one seed and has the bye? Can they beat them then the subsequent week, and then the third week beat whoever's left from the other side of the bracket? Because if they're the seven seed, they're going to have to play the two, and then they're going to play the one. And then they're going to play whoever's left if they still win. I don't think they're good enough to do that three games in a row. And if they prove me wrong, I'll be happy for people like Kyle who live and die with their success and failure.
Jason, I want you to listen to this clip from Jordan Love post-game yesterday. You might have heard it in real time, but for those who haven't heard it, Maxie?
It's one of those things where, you know, we all got to be better. I got to be better. When they're playing man coverage, you know, it comes down to winning that one-on-one as a receiver. And as a quarterback, you got to have great ball placement and, you know, make plays. But it's one-on-one coverage, so guys just got to go win, and we didn't do a good enough job of that. But it's on everybody. You know, there's not one guy that it falls on. You know, it's a whole team thing. So there's a lot of stuff we'll look back on film and have to clean up figure out ways to be able to win versus that coverage.
Now, Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers, who would just basically throw word daggers and throw his wide receivers under the bus. However, to me, this is Jordan Love calling out his wide receivers. Do you read it the same way?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And look, and what I would push back on Jordan with, and I was in the locker room when he was talking, or maybe I was walking to the bus with Josh Myers at that point, but I did not hear that live. I did listen to it and read the transcript afterward. And what I would say is, you know, he does say ball placement there, and I thought there were two throws that the guy won on his one-on-one, not by a large margin. But on the fourth and two that he throws incomplete, I thought Jaden Reed won on that route, right? And it's not – is it a difficult catch that goes off of Reed's hands? It is. So should he have caught it? Probably. But the ball placement wasn't great there. He could have hit him much more in stride and with a better ball there. And then there was a throw downfield, I think it was on an out route, to Wicks. And – Wicks has to make a diving stab at it at the sideline. Again, kind of the same as the Jaden Reed ball, where he gets his hands on it, but better ball placement maybe leads to a completion. And, you know, I didn't think Jordan was that good yesterday. And I think what we've done with him, we got carried away with what he did late last season. I think he was putting up some really good numbers. But when Matt LaFleur said he was playing his best ball, not even Jordan Love would say that. He said, I think I'm playing decent. And I think he's had some struggles. And, he also took three sacks yesterday, so some of that is on the offensive line.
But he was under duress half the game.
But again, he had been under very little duress for much of the year, right? Like, he's one of the least sacked quarterbacks in the league. I thought he was better at eluding things in the pocket than he was yesterday. But, again, that's a really good defense. And this is, to me, this is the problem with kind of the disparity in the NFL right now, or especially the NFC. All these wins against all these other teams, that they got 11 wins. There's two of those teams going to the playoffs. There's the Houston Texans, who lost 31-2 at home the other night. And there's the Los Angeles Rams, who didn't have Puka Nacua, Tyler Higbee, or Cooper Kupp for their matchup with the Packers. So those are their two wins over playoff teams. The only other team with a winning record that they've beaten is Seattle, which lost their starting quarterback during the course of that game on Sunday Night Football. And maybe they've looked better than they actually are because of who they faced and the fact that they've been able to be productive against lesser teams. Because yesterday they played a really good defense that flummoxed them with man coverage that they weren't expecting and with that scheme to generate pressure that Brian Flores is so good at. And to win titles, you have to beat good teams. You have to beat the bad teams to keep building up your record, and you have to beat the mediocre teams to keep building up your record. But the measure of how good your team is what you're able to do against the really good teams. And yesterday, for the second time, they dug a big hole against the Vikings. The Vikings were able to pin their ears. Knew Jordan Love was going
to. Lost Jason Wilde on Highway 29, was it? Was it Highway 29?
29, I don't know. Yeah. Minneapolis on his way home.
Yeah. Maxie, any update on Jason? It looks like he's still alive.
Just drop him and call him back if you can, because I know I definitely want Kyle to.
I mean, it is what it is. I was just going to ask him about what everybody's mad about, is he never really addressed Matt LaFleur. Like, in a sense of Matt LaFleur, it just seems like these moments, Matt feels the moment, right? Like, he knows this is a big moment. He knows this is a big game, and it just seems Matt LaFleur seems rattled. And I was curious if he had a take on that, because he's been around Matt LaFleur and his organization for a long time, and fans see it, Brad sees it, you see it, Ben, I see it, and I'm just curious what his take was.
Well, we'll effort for Jason Wilde, but Jason knows that if we're going to effort for him, we'll talk about somebody that he loves, and that's Gina.
Oh, Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, your go-to solution to fortify your home as these winter months come your way. That's right. You have old, drafty windows and doors. You're probably either looking at them or thinking about them as I'm talking right now. That's your indication.
I'm going to cut you off. We'll get back to Gina. Don't worry.
Sure will.
We're going to give Gina lots of love. But before, Jason, we let you go, I want Kyle to talk to you about something that's on his mind.
Yeah, Jason, I'm glad we got you back here. But is it me, or do you think that Matt LaFleur seems just to get a little bit rattled in these big games, or he loses his composure, or he just understands and feels the moment? Because it just seems sometimes Matt LaFleur just loses himself in some of these bigger games.
Yeah, I think you and Tausch should talk, because I think Tausch feels the same way. You know, obviously he was frustrated with some officiating issues. Didn't love that he got after a guy that's been a good friend of mine for 30 years and is a UW alum. But look, he has definitely been fierier than he was in his first few years as a head coach. And Kevin O'Connell is not like that. There was a pretty big difference, I thought, watching sideline behavior between those two. So is it big games, or is it just that's how he's become more reactionary? I don't know. I'm going to withhold judgment on that. I would like to talk to him about it privately, one-on-one, as opposed to in a press conference, because I don't think it'll do me a whole lot of good trying to ask those questions, say, on Wednesday. So I'm gonna make a request and see if I can get him for a few minutes on that, because I think it would behoove him to address it as well. Because I think there's a lot of people that feel the way you do.
Jason, we appreciate you getting back with us. Drive safely, and we will talk to you. Well, I won't, but somebody will on Thursday.
Happy New Year. Oh, you're not here Thursday?
No, oh, I am. I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Happy New Year, Jason. We'll see you.
Guys, I appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason, 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch.